Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Too difficult, just a simple 4-4-2.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Cup Ramble. It's Monday, and what a day! What a day!
Oh, what a day!
Cloudy.
It is.
Depends where you are, though, doesn't
but
it?
The sun is shining at manmonth.co.uk, Luke.
Oh, that is very
It's
cute.
Golden over there.
It's golden. It is actually golden. Yeah. Part of the site is actually gold, so I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're over at manmonth.co.uk, as usual. You know the score by now, hopefully. There's loads of blogs and videos and podcasts, stuff like that. Also, we're going to...
Well, it's us. The Ramble videos, Ramble podcasts, yeah. Ramble blogs.
There's some other blogs as well, though. Some other stuff being mixed up in there. Also, thanks to them, we're going to Johannesburg, where we can do a couple of shows from out there, let you know what it's like, what's going on, what the atmosphere is like. And that's from the 7th of July, we'll be over there. But, yeah, that's all brought to you by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. Don't forget...
Lots of prizes.
Yeah, someone's got to win those prizes. Do get over there. I mean, we'd love it to be proper Ramble listeners to win them. There's stuff like an HD TV and like a home cinema system. Loads
Xbox.
Of stuff.
We don't want it to be those people that just perennially enter a lot of prizes.
Enter a lot of prizes.
The people that enter a lot of competitions. Yeah, and, you know, the people are just constantly there.
Yeah. Well, it's probably about time for me to introduce you all.
Yeah.
Luke Moore is here.
Hello. All right.
Sitting to my left for a change.
Yeah, I swapped it
Mixed
around.
It up. Pete Donaldson is forever nearly opposite me.
Hello.
James or Jim.
I'm here in the saggy chair. Taking Luke's place.
Yeah, sorry about
it's
that.
Taking a beating, isn't it?
Chappies, what's been your moment of the World Cup of late, James or Jim?
I'm quite enjoying all this French petulance stuff.
So unlike them.
I know. Refusing to train and like Evra's argument with a fitness coach and just Raymond Domenech having to read out their statement and stuff, and it's not clear whether he's on their side or whether he hates them.
Yeah, didn't the chief sort of throw his accreditation badge over
that's
a fence
right, yeah.
or something?
Yeah, one of the directors quit as well, didn't he, straight afterwards? And again, I'm not sure whether it was in disgust at the players or in disgust at
the idea of ID badges.
Well, we will talk more about the French, of course.
Domenech will never chuck his pass away. He loves his pass.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about them in a bit, but that's maybe the only side that England can look mildly good against, I suppose, in terms of what's going on in the camp. Pete?
I liked the bit when in the New Zealand match, the last New Zealand match, where
against Italy,
Ryan Nelson got yellow carded for not sitting on a stretcher,
yeah, or having cramp essentially, yeah. wasn't it?
I think he was told to get off and get to the halfway line or something, but he just got a yellow card for it anyway because he refused to stand on a stretcher. He came back on, so he clearly didn't need a stretcher.
No.
Robbie Savage on the old commentary, because I always listen to the commentary over the Five Live commentary over the telly pictures, but he was so annoyed, he was so upset, and he also gave us the revelation that Ryan Nelson's hamstring isn't even connected to his arse.
Really?
I don't know how that works.
Ryan Nelson played an absolute blinder in that game.
He was incredible.
He was really, really good.
I like how you're mixing and matching radio and television, Pete.
It's good.
I'm a multimedia nod.
You're a self-facilitated media nod.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it on Pro Evo. Really,
Luke.
I'm going to go for New Zealand as well, but just New Zealand in general.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a great tournament so far. The goal they scored was offside, but we'll forgive them that because the goal that Italy scored was never a penalty.
Nah.
That was a cheeky dive by De Rossi. He should be ashamed of
himself.
He did a terrible one at the start of the
I thought the defender pulled him back a bit there.
A bit, yeah, but not to the degree that
De Rossi knocked himself over in the first match. He kicked the back of his heel and he just went straight
when
down.
When you're a ferocious forward-thinking player, you know, just the slightest thing can put you off.
How do you know?
De Rossi looks like he should be an elbow.
We can talk about this if you want. Like that.
Say again?
De Rossi looks like he should be an elbow.
He doesn't even look Italian. I think, I mean, apparently it's all going off in Auckland. They're loving it over there. And that is surprising because no one really cares.
Isn't that just what Auckland's like?
No, they're into their rugby and stuff like that, but they're really getting into it. And if New Zealand can somehow get a result against Paraguay and go through, that would be unbelievable.
I think it's Wellington, isn't it, in New Zealand, actually playing the A-League in Australia.
There's a couple, and New Zealand Knights do as well.
But am I right in thinking that New Zealand and Australia are like a 4-hour flight away from each other?
Yeah,
they're not close neighbours, really.
Yeah.
So to be fair, that affects the teams quite a bit.
To be fair, though, travelling teams from the north to south of Italy and Spain and Germany, is that far?
Is that a pretty big country. I mean, yeah, I suppose it's not, I mean, in terms of flights, it's not that far, is it?
I suppose.
If you're going from Newcastle to Portsmouth, I mean, it's still not that far, is it?
Sevilla to Bilbao would be a couple of hours.
What about Tenerife and La Liga?
They are Mallorca as well, but enough of away days in Australasia. It is now time for me to tell my favourite... James.
Sorry.
No, I think you know you've done wrong there.
Okay, I've been warned.
I'm amazed none of you have gone for this. I'm quite pleased. You've left it to me. Blanco getting on the squash.
Blanco's run-up.
That was a wonderful moment, wasn't it?
Gary Lineker said, "Oh, I don't like a straight run-up." I do. I love a straight run-up.
It was very straight, though. I don't know how he managed to...
Straight as a die,
he surely had to retire after all that legwork there.
Brilliant penalty, brilliant man.
It's great because when he took the penalty, he had been on about 15 minutes, and when he was standing there waiting to take it, he looked absolutely
I was really hoping he was going to sort of like bunny hop it into the net.
He still looked younger than John Terry.
Oh, yeah, no, he's on the sheet. And sod it, he's won me the points this week. All of yours. Unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about England and get them out of the way before we can become positive again about this tournament. England 0, Algeria 0. A good, solid, clean sheet from the English, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
We're undefeated. Can anyone touch us now?
I've never seen a game improve by becoming boring before.
At least it became something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, even out with that game, and we could spend a lot of time moaning and groaning about that game, but I feel it's already been done to death. Mm. And rightfully
can we
so.
We do it anyway.
But there seems to be a hell of a lot wrong in the England camp itself.
I think the tide is definitely turning in the press against Capello, and it doesn't take long for a foreign manager to get that sort of treatment by the Sun, the Mirror, etc.
Luke, do you see all these problems? You know, people have made such a hoo-ha about leaving to the starting 11 to the last couple of hours. Should Joe Cole be playing? The England goalkeeper? All these kind of little mistakes.
Why the go-to man for ill-discipline?
If you let me finish. You know, England haven't been performing. Are you looking at the manager or the players for this?
Players.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at the players because... To pick up on Pete's point, he's absolutely right, but that's the reason for that, I think, is partly because he's not English and partly because he doesn't pay them any mind. He doesn't care about what they say. He's closed ranks, like we said the other day. He's closed ranks and they need something to fill their pages and their rolling news networks, and that's why that's happened. Mm. I don't think Capello cares about that, but I would blame the players in this situation because every single time England get to a tournament and the pressure's ramped up and they have to perform, they can't. So if we look back to World Cup 2006... Going into the tournament, they were quite... I mean, you'll remember better than me, Marcus, but they were quite highly regarded. They were one of the tips to do well. Mm. They squeezed past Paraguay. They beat Trinidad, who are a poor side.
They struggled there as well.
They couldn't beat Sweden. Yeah. And they edged past Ecuador. Yeah. And they put in a poor performance against Portugal and went out. And if you look at Euro 2000... And the reason that happened, apparently, was because Sven wasn't imaginative enough and he let them do whatever they wanted and it was a bit of a circus. Mm. But essentially, it was OK, so they kept McLaren on to keep the same sort of regime. That was too sort of easy and the players didn't have any respect for him. So they couldn't qualify for Euro 2008. Then they flicked to Capello, who apparently is too harsh. Now they don't feel like they can express themselves because there's too much pressure. Well, get over it. I can sort yourselves out and get over it.
Ten John Terry's out in the field should be able to beat that Algeria side.
Yeah.
Well, James, do you think that we've talked about the people saying Capello, very strict regime. Apparently, the players they're in bed by 11, which I think is fair enough. But people they haven't been going for just to wind down after the games. Everyone just goes back to their rooms. It's very strict. Whereas with Sven, it was very different. And they did have Sven for three tournaments, and a lot of these players were under Sven. Do you think that perhaps Capello's I don't know, for want of a better word, almost upset them a bit in the tournament. They feel maybe they're like little schoolboys.
I think they've got to have a word with themselves if that is the case. I mean, yeah. it appears to me that they're not listening to him. There's a point in the game against Algeria where Emil Heskey was sort of making a last-ditch tackle on the edge of the box. And obviously, it's good that he's doing that, but there's absolutely no way that the game plan involves that.
No.
Emil Heskey should not be on the edge of the box if that team is keeping its shape. So it seems like they're not doing what Capello's saying. You know, as a player, you have to be prepared for what comes, and it seems to me that they've not got into the attitude of this is the World Cup, this is it now. They still seem to be sort of very cautious, as if it's...
Yeah.
The performances have resembled the friendlies against Mexico and Japan.
As Luke said, in 2006 we never got going, and we managed to get to the quarterfinals.
It's the same nucleus of players as well.
Yeah.
Just to pick on what James said briefly, if James thinks that Joe Cole should be in the side, great, I think I'd probably do as well. And maybe half those players do. Maybe all the players do, but it's tough shit. Yeah, the amount of times you go through your life having to do something that you maybe don't want to do, or you don't agree with someone, that happens every single day. The Fabio Capello is the manager of that team because he's a good manager, because he's won things, because he knows what to do. And he's essentially saying to them, if you do what I say, okay, and express yourself within this framework I've given you, you will probably succeed. Okay, you may have come across other teams who are slightly better than you, that's the way it goes. But the bottom line is, for them to complain, I mean, Steven Gerrard, I think it was yesterday, said that we're stuck in a 5-star prison. I mean, do me a favour, mate.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a perspective.
Oh, fucking hell.
You've got all this stuff to do.
I'm in a hostel in fucking Johannesburg.
The reason they're in this place outside of the main strip in where they're based is because they caught publicity to such an extent, most of them, that the security can't be sorted out for them anywhere. They decided to take David Beckham with them, which also brings along its own sort of security concerns. They've got everything laid on for them there, and even if they are bored, it's 6 fucking weeks. Out of your life. 6 weeks where you're training in the morning.
Well, not even, by the looks of things.
You have a bit of food. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you take into account the sort of preparation as well.
Yeah.
You have a bit of food.
You're with 23 of your mates.
Get on with it. Exactly, just get on with it. It's always a fucking excuse. Always.
It just smacks of having 10 people out on the field that are the best British players in their respectively teams, effectively. I think Luke made the point well when we were watching the US match. If Steven Gerrard loses the ball, he's got someone else to back him up.
Yeah.
If you've got 10 of those players out on the pitch for England, there's no one to cover because one gives a shit. Nobody wants the ball. It's always a layoff to the right or a layoff to the left. Nobody runs at players. And when you're bringing in on someone like Sean Wright Phillips as an impact sub, you may as well have Theo Walcott there.
So you're saying half the players are waiting for Mascherano or Essien or Drogba to sort this out.
There's a backbone that we've got. There's no backbone. There's just it just smacks of 11 big personalities and so-called personalities, thick as pig shit personalities, but like.
They're in the Premier League bubble, and then out of that bubble, and I don't like it.
Well, I think you're right on that, Luke, because I think pretty much all of the players in that squad, and the Spurs players included as well, they're challenging for things. They're going for things. They're used to being sort of the big dog, you know. And when it comes to international football, they don't have that record. They do have this history of failure.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they don't like it. Maybe they don't know how to adjust to that.
Well, you just got to look at Wayne Rooney. Rooney's never been booed. He's never been booed by his own team. That's why he got so upset at the end. I've never seen, with Wayne Rooney in particular, I've never seen one footballer, all right, he's knackered and he looks knackered. I've never seen one footballer play so badly and remain on the field for 90 minutes. Yeah. It was incredible.
What's that got to do with the thing is, though, that performance from Rooney, you can argue that Capello takes him off, but I'm a big supporter and fan of Capello, but I didn't think England would do an awful lot in this tournament, and we said that in the podcast before the tournament, but the thing is, with Capello, if he plays Rooney that whole 90 minutes, Capello will get a lot of shit for saying, because Rooney's clearly not fit or he's not up to it.
Yeah,
if he takes him off, everyone will be like, what's he taking Rooney off for? He's our best player. So there's nothing to do with Capello, that. The bottom line is that a formation or a team talk or something like that at that level doesn't mean you can or can't control the ball, which Rooney couldn't. Mm.
No, absolutely. I think that it was funny, though, that John Terry's press conference coming out and saying a lot of those sort of things that sort of suggesting that there was a bit of disharmony in the camp, sort of saying, he did say that, well, if we give our opinions and it upsets the manager, then so what, almost. You know, there was this real funny air about him. And then Frank Lampard's press conference the day after seemed to kind of sort of say, no, John did say that, but you can't take him literally.
Because he's an idiot.
Which I thought actually Frank Lampard came across very well. Pete, you saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, I just think Terry's hurting from losing the captaincy and he's just trying to annoy Capello a bit.
I just
think he's just trying to antagonise him because he hasn't played well. None of the players have played well and he's just coming out and pretending there's some sort of, well, I don't even know what's pretending, just saying that there's this seats Fox sort of factions. Mm. That can serve nothing. That serves no purpose. Why is he even at the press? I know they take turns with the press conferences and stuff. Mm. Why isn't it always Steven Gerrard? He's the captain. He should be the mouthpiece.
Very quiet,
he should be
captain.
The only person.
But I think do you not think Terry's maybe got a point, you know, that after the Algeria game, he said to Franco Baldini, he said, can't we just go for have a beer and just calm down, relax, and let's just talk about the game? And apparently a number of players did. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Well, the bottom line is that lots of people like to have a beer to unwind at the end of the day or something, but if that's the regime Capello is overseeing, because the regime before that was so loose and so unstructured that they couldn't perform. Well, you can't win, can you?
No.
If you start performing on the pitch, I'll give you a beer.
Maybe that's how they should do it.
I'll
you should just have some on the bench, in a little cool box.
Worst birthday Capello's ever had.
do you think then the way you can look at this differently is by saying, do you think that? Why do you think that it's not going right for Capello? If it's Capello's regime, and obviously the buck will probably start with him, stop with him, rightly or wrongly. Do you think that the players under Capello at Real Madrid or Roma or Milan have had problems with him? Because Graham Souness made an excellent point recently, which was this thing about, oh, we can't have a beer, oh, it's too disciplined, oh, we don't know the team till 2 hours before kickoff. That wasn't a problem when they were winning.
Absolutely.
It only becomes a sort of issue when they stop winning games.
Well, it's excuses, isn't it? And I suppose that maybe they're looking for answers themselves, because it is baffling. It's the reason, you know, England not performing, when you look at the players they have as individuals, is genuinely baffling. I don't think it's deluded of us as England fans to think that. It's very, very strange. But you're absolutely right. That isn't a problem when it's working out, and I just think they're probably as baffled as we are. I think they're confused by the performance.
But they should have better insight than we should.
Well, I know, but they don't seem to know themselves. And I think it's strange that there's been a bit of a sort of hoo-ha about the fact they were even having a team meeting. Surely they have a team meeting every day. Surely it's quite a normal thing to do. Surely they sit down, watch the game together, have dinner together, go over things. Of course they're going
to
do that.
Terry doesn't need to come out and just start giving us the ins and outs of what happened after that match. And then the bottom line is, we're going to try and do our best next time. Yeah. I don't want to know that John Terry did a wee and it was a bit yellower than usual. I couldn't give a toss.
And he actually made the toilet this time.
I couldn't give a toss what happens behind the scenes. I don't need to hear it. Capello doesn't need this out in the open. It just needs to be.
Like you say, it doesn't serve anyway. It doesn't. It can't. Nothing good can come of it.
It serves John Terry and nobody else.
Yeah.
But anyway, looking ahead to the Slovenia game, I personally hope we play the 4-5-1 with Gerrard in behind Rooney and Joe Cole.
Well, that's what the players are asking for, isn't it? Effectively,
the funny thing is, though, okay, we've defended Capello there. He has made errors. There's no two ways about it. So
I think he's found it harder to adjust to international management than I thought he would.
Yeah. So that's what I
just think he was genuinely surprised about. He played that team the first against the USA. Well, the same team's got to play better.
Yeah,
and they didn't. So it was like,
even
what?
And we've got out of jail there. Algeria were poor. It's not even as if they were set up to frustrate us. You know, it's not like they threw 10 men behind the ball. We were just really poor. So
I think part of their formation was set up to frustrate us. I think the 3 and the 4.
But it wasn't a 10 men against the ball back to the wall thing. And regardless of that, we should beat them.
No, it wasn't. They were dynamic going forward and they worked hard. Andy Townsend said something strange before that game. He said that the thing about Algeria is they've got a load of heart and a load of strict work rate, but they haven't really got the talent. And I thought, actually, that's not right. That's opposite. No. They've got quite a lot of talent, but as soon as they start the chips going down, they start kicking everyone.
Yeah,
this is the opposite.
Well, hopefully, England can sort it out for Slovenia.
Yeah,
got an email regarding the Slovenia game.
Ooh.
G'day, Rambleforce.
Hello.
My girlfriend and I are from Sydney, Australia, and are avid listeners and have been for some time. We've been in Durban since the start of the Cup, and we are loving every second of the action here at the fan parks. Keep an eye out during the England v Slovenia match for our Rambleforce Ho banner, which is printed on an England flag. We'll be waving it proudly during the match in Port Elizabeth. Cheers, Simon.
That's fantastic.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you, Simon, and girlfriend. They're not the only England flag that's going to be there with Ramble, the football Ramble on. James Cox and friends.
Yeah, check out the Facebook. It's massive.
I'm worried that the Rambleforce Ho thing, they're going to see as some sort of call to arms, and the police are going to be very forceful in removing it from them. I hope not, though.
As long as it gets us publicity like that Dutch beer.
Exactly.
We don't get thrown out.
Yeah,
you well, we're not going to be.
You can't carry that into the ground because we're not official World Cup partner.
I don't think Pavlos Joseph's going to be there at the next game.
No, he's the guy who broke in.
His court hearing has already happened.
Oh my goodness.
They've set up like a World Cup court. Let me explain.
He's the man who apparently was looking for the toilet and he ended up in the England dressing room. That's never happened to me at a football match. Not remotely close. But he apparently claimed in an interview that he took a wrong turn and he suddenly walked into the England dressing room.
There's seven grades of security between the... I read this. There's seven grades of security between being a punter and being a player.
Yeah,
he's got through all of them.
Wow.
Well, anyway, he...
James Bond.
Apparently he...
Was he pretending to be Lampard? I saw him. He's quite a chunky lad.
I apologise. You know, in the Lampard's press conference, I thought to myself, he's quite a handsome man.
He is handsome.
Lampard has never been fat, ever.
No, he hasn't either. Let's put that to bed.
He's one of the fittest athletes on earth, probably.
Especially compared to me and James.
Pavlos said that I looked David straight in the eye. That's David Beckham. And said, David, we've spent a lot of money getting here. This is a disgrace. What are you going to do about
it? He's not even in the squad.
Yeah.
Why have you picked him? I understand if it was just David Beckham in the street.
Get Liz, though.
But you've got all the other players there.
Yeah. And when Beckham said, who are you? And he went, I'm Pavlos, and I actually need the toilet. Didn't even give his second name. Oh, you're Pavlos. Bloody hell.
We should come here earlier. We could have done with you on the pitch.
And then he's, I love it how, like, when Beckham said what happened, because the two princes were there earlier,
yeah,
and they left.
Right.
When Beckham was sort of recounting the story, he was kind of saying, yeah, he said hello. Basically, the guy never said hello. He was very rude, I think, and very abrupt, and got taken away. But the way Pavlos describes it is saying that he said he addressed the players who were sitting on benches with towels around their waist and said, I told them that that was woeful and not good enough. The room was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. The players' chins were on their chests. They looked pretty ashamed.
But hang on, you just needed the toilet. So just like an impromptu dressing down.
First things first.
You lot need to...
Keep listening while I'm urinating. What
do
you lot need to do is...
Oh, I can't go.
Yeah. Actually, can you pop the door open just so they can definitely hear me?
Well, hang on, Fabio. My CV's pretty impressive as well. What you need to know... ridiculous.
You just need the toilet, then go to the toilet. The first thing you say is, excuse me, do you know where the toilet is? And that's a bit awkward.
How did he get past seven levels of security, though?
Well, I think that's incredible.
I'm Pavlos, I need the toilet.
Oh, you must go and see the England team.
It's good you went to speak to Rooney, he probably would have lamped him.
It's nice to see Pavlos criticising you.
Excellent. Slovenia versus the US, pretty good game.
Yeah, the US were absolutely robbed.
Should have won it, shouldn't they?
Daddy Bradley must have been annoyed.
Yeah. They both look like Casper the Friendly Ghost, don't they, the Bradleys?
I tell you what, the Bradley manager, senior... He looks hard.
He does look hard, yeah.
He does.
And his son's actually decent. I really love that. He's in there on merit.
It was a good finish as well. But what a goal.
As you said, Luke, they were absolutely robbed. The more times you see the replay of that goal, there's three fouls on US players.
It was a suicide call.
It was indeed. I'm just absolutely gutted for them. I mean, obviously it's helped England out massively.
Yeah.
But it's what to come back from 2-0 down to win 3-2 as they should have done. It's such an achievement and shows a real spirit in that team.
Great half-time team talk.
I tell you what a finish from Donovan.
I can never get tired of a ball being smashed into the roof of the net.
From that. It's just.
Do you think Aaron Lennon could learn a bit from that?
Michael Bradley goal was a massive pile on afterwards.
Biggest
pile on the tournament.
Scenes.
Clearly some great spirit in that squad as well, and they're fighting for each other, and they really, really want to just
like
do
France
as well.
Like France,
isn't it? It's a lot like that. If you live in
swinging for each
some alternative dimension where everything's opposite.
Yeah. Holland are through, first team through.
Yeah, really underwhelming, but they've just got on with it, haven't they?
Yep.
And they've just done it, and it's.
Well, Bert van Marwijk was saying last week that they need to learn how to win ugly, and I think they have done that.
And it looks as though that they're the kind of side that you would think could peak further on in the tournament.
Yeah.
Certainly, that's what they'll be hoping.
See how they play with the pressures off, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, very true indeed. Cameroon are the first team out.
Gutting.
They were beaten by Denmark 2-1. No, I thought they may go the first out of the African nations, but they may not have done, and they haven't, so I was correct.
Sorry to bring it back down to club football and be a bit smug about an Arsenal player, but Nicholas Bentner now got more World Cup goals than Puskas and Best put together, so...
nice.
And Pete and Luke.
Yeah.
What I loved
still
about
still time in my career. Hang on a minute.
Well, what I liked actually in Cameroon in that game, when Eto scored, his celebration, there was just a passion. He loved every second of it. He really, really enjoyed celebrating that goal. That was great to see. But unfortunately,
that's the only goal he's got.
It wasn't enough. Le Guin, the manager, has taken a lot of the blame, which I think he should do. I mean, the first game, the tactics were all wrong, playing Eto out wide and all that kind
of stuff. There's big personalities in that dressing room as well.
Well, yeah, there is. The African side, who started the best, Ghana, drew 1-1 with Australia. 2 points dropped.
Missed Oppo for them, that is. Harry Kuehl.
Kuehl sent off. Rightly or wrongly sent off?
Correct.
He handballed it on the line.
Yeah, but I think it was an accident, so definitely penalty. It seems a harsh sending off.
It was only as much of a handball as Luis Fabiano's was.
Well, Luis Fabiano did too, though, didn't he? Yeah.
But I thought Australia...
Why did the ref ask him as well?
The Australian team equipped themselves well, actually. Acquitted themselves well when it went down to 10 men. Well, and they could have won it! They could have won it!
Ghana seemed to sort of wilt under the pressure a little bit.
Very blunt up front, though, aren't they, Ghana?
Yeah.
They seem to be.
I think they need a result against Germany, don't they? Because, I mean, Serbia, you would probably fancy to beat Australia.
Well, Ghana have got 4 points, but they've only scored 2 goals, and they're both penalties.
Yeah. That's right. Serbia have 3, and they've still got the Aussies to play. But then, could the Aussies win? And then,
who knows,
goodness
mate.
Knows what. But,
imagine if Kevin Prince-Boateng scores the only goal against Germany.
He's playing really well.
He's had a good tournament. Serbia beat Germany 1-0. Even with 10 men, I thought the Germans looked pretty decent, actually.
They were, yeah. Ivanovic's celebration was amazing.
Oh, he jumped over there.
He did that thing where you jump over a wall, but the other side's actually far further down, you realise. Yeah. And he just disappeared. He looked like he might have broken both his legs. And about 5 seconds later, he appeared up at the barrier, just shaking them.
It was a Kenny Pavey.
Pavey was right in there.
The bloke he was celebrating with, who I presume was maybe his brother, he looked a bit like him, but he looked like a warlord.
Yeah, they
do. He looked like sort of like you wouldn't want to see in the street.
They do, those warlords. They're always in the front front row. Joachim Low. What do you make of him?
Yogi Love.
Oh, Joachim, sorry, we're going.
Yogi Love, isn't it?
Yogi Love.
Yeah.
Dyes his hair, definitely.
Yeah, I love the way that the managerial staff of Germany all wear the same thing.
Yeah.
They wear exactly the same clothes every time. It's great.
Go on, sorry.
It's been one for managerial fashions, hasn't it? Somebody was saying you either go suits or tracksuits and stuff.
But this time
it's been CNA. This time it's been men of M&S.
Well, the weather, I think, has probably dictated that.
Dunga traded in his roll neck and jacket.
He had
a pink shirt
with green underneath, I noticed, the t-shirt. Ooh, good lord.
The man is an enigma.
Ericsson's had a strange sort of tracksuit. It was way too big for him.
He had a massive bench coat on the other day.
Good old Sven. It was funny, wasn't it, when Klinsmann was on, I think, the BBC, when they said to him, are you a bit worried about the Ghana game? You've got to win that, really, and all this sort of stuff. And he just said, nah, we're qualifying, it's OK.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing at
these
tournaments.
He's a good pundit, Klinsmann.
He's very good. Well, let's talk about New Zealand, Italy.
Yeah, let's. Very impressed with Chris Wood coming on late. Is this 17, is he?
He is.
He's made a real difference. He's been at West Brom, hasn't he?
Sunday Express had a bit of a stinker the weekend just gone. They told us the story about Tommy Smith, who's a young player who plays for Ipswich.
Yeah.
And he represents New Zealand because one of
Tommy
his parents...
Tommy Smith with an I.
Yeah, one of his parents is New Zealander. And they did the whole story, but the Sunday Express picture was a picture of Tommy Smith who plays for Pompey.
who's
from Hemel Hempstead and doesn't play for New Zealand.
One of the guys came on, he was... he was a banker by trade. He worked in a bank. one of the New Zealand players that came on, which is quite lovely.
Did he steal everyone's bonus?
Political.
Broke in New Zealand, yeah?
Marcello Lippi, before that game, was incredibly critical of his strikers, saying things like, if you don't ever attack the area, you're never going to score, which is perfectly true.
Yeah.
I mean, the man's won a World Cup.
Taking direction from Paul Ince, isn't he?
They don't seem very sharp up front.
No, they don't.
Italy.
Well, I tipped Paraguay to win that group, and I still think they will. Italy, they're in a bit of transition, and it's not helped with Buffon being injured.
Pirlo as well.
Yeah, Pirlo's obviously out, and Montolivo's replaced him, but Montolivo's obviously not as good as Pirlo, so that accounts for a bit.
Looks a lot like Zlatan.
He does, actually,
Pirlo might be back for Thursday's match with Slovakia. It'd be nice to see him.
I'd play Di Natale, mate. I wouldn't start with them.
That translates as the Christmas, which I enjoy.
Di Natale?
Yeah, it does.
Anthony the Christmas. It's a great name.
It's great, isn't it?
So I'd start of with Christmas, him would it not be?
Maybe it will be. Anthony of Christmas.
I think it's of Christmas.
Great, so I'd start with him for that reason. But it's a cliche, but it's one of those things that is a cliche because it's true, as we've said before. But Italy do start slowly. I'm sure they will pick it up from there.
You fancy them to qualify, I think.
Oh, yeah.
When Del Piero comes on. What?
Yeah, exactly.
When Baggio gets it, when he gets going.
Paraguay, they look really good. I love the kit. The blue and white really complement. Sorry, the red and white really complement the blue.
The blue, yeah.
I think it's a classic kit. really, do you think it's textured?
Was it Vera who scored a great goal for them to open the scoring?
A little chip, wasn't it?
Beautiful outside of the boots. They just look like a real good team. Sorry, as in a real good unit, a very fluid.
Well, the thing is, mate, it's
they cover each other.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
They don't seem to be playing under any pressure. I just think it comes from the fact that they're not a European side, maybe. That all these South American teams, and also Mexico, who are obviously Central American, it's that sort of part of the world. They seem to just be playing with enjoying it, playing with a bit of verve, a bit of enthusiasm.
England and France, exclusively, really, they're the opposite of that.
England just played
terrified.
They look like they were all going to be killed if they didn't win.
But I mean, look at if you play for Brazil, imagine the expectations there.
The one thing that the Brazilian players have always oozed is they just love playing for Brazil so much, and it doesn't matter what's going on at club level. You know, Robinho is a good example. It doesn't matter what's happening at club level, they go and play for Brazil and they love it. Yeah, there you go. And it is an interesting point, because maybe a lot of these English players are used to the Premier League, or they're constantly told this is the best league in the world and you're amazing.
Well, Redknapp was doing that the other day.
Yeah, well, then you go to the World Cup when you've got all these other good players, and it's almost like their nose has been put out.
Redknapp tried to make out the other day that sort of England should really beat Brazil, they played them, because he was saying something like, well, look at Gilberto, he was moved on from the Premier League, you know, and he's the fulcrum of their side. Look at Giovanni, he got played like two games for Spurs. I mean, he listed quite a lot of players. Elano, he couldn't get in the team at Man City.
Send him a videotape of Roger Miller in the 1990 World Cup and say this man was semi-pro in Malaysia or wherever he was. The tiny little islands.
Do you also not think that there's something to be said about how Luis Fabiano, who's obviously a great player, but he hadn't scored for Brazil for ages before this week, but they stuck with him over and over again and just stuck at it. Do you think there's a lot to be said for that as well, how they keep faith in the players? Dunga keeps faith in players, and he seems to keep a squad of about, roughly, I know they have to have 23 players in the squad, but he seems to use like a core of about 16 or 17 players, which he always uses, and that breeds like a lot of familiarity and stuff.
Well, I think the reason that's a positive thing is that it's regular rotation, if that makes sense. As with Spain in Euro 2008, I think you do need to shake things up, but in a familiar way.
In a familiar way
where you've got a couple of different things you try and sort of combinations of who you put on with, under Eriksen in particular, and we saw that again with the Ivory Coast game against Brazil. It's just like, I'll try him now, I'll try this player who plays that same position.
That's the Maradona model, isn't it?
I think it is a very healthy thing to have that rotation, because it is a squad game now, and you don't have as much time to prepare that sort of thing as an international manager, but I think you need to try and breed that. And I think
they also,
it's essential.
Lawrenson was commentating on the Brazil game, and he was saying, first of all, he said, how many games have they played for qualifying? Well, one, you should know that, because you're supposed to have done your research. And Jonathan Pearce said, 18. And he said, that's half a season. And we're like, okay, fine. And he said, what about all the air miles they've got to do? And he seemed to have no knowledge of the fact that they go over there and play two games at a time. So it's actually 9 trips, not 18. And then he goes, oh, what, Luis Fabiano, has he played much this? And
I was like, that was what? Kaka who said that about.
Has he played much? I was like, what is this? The Mike Lawrenson question and answer
session.
And
it's not as if he's doing a piece to camera and he can't check his figures.
No,
he
could have before.
this is what I don't get about some of the pundits, is when they sort of say, well, our knowledge is limited of Slovakia. What have you been doing all day? What have you done before you got on that camera today?
I'm not sure if you know, but the BBC has got a research department. You wouldn't even have to do it yourself.
Look at the internet.
Ask someone else.
Our knowledge is not that good on Slovakia, because my minibar is first class.
And I am hammered still.
Oh, class. Well, Brazil did beat Ivory Coast 3-1.
That's a great game, that, wasn't it?
Kaká sent off for the disgraceful scene.
And a vicious assault by Kaká.
Yeah. Could not believe that.
That's annoying me, because that goes on his record.
It would drop
a lovely, handsome man like that.
Someone said on their Facebook fan page, well, the thing is, Rivaldo did it, so what goes around comes around. Different player.
Yeah.
Doesn't
work like that.
That is utterly irrelevant.
But I hope you still listen to the podcast.
him and Drogba just sort of like chewing the fat on the halfway line. Yeah. He's sort of going, I don't know what I did.
Can you remember when Portugal played Holland? What round was it?
Yeah, second round last time.
So 2006,
they got three men were sent off.
Deco
and Van Bronckhorst, I think, were sent off.
Yeah, and at one point there was, I think it might have been Deco, not Van Bronckhorst, but maybe another Dutch player got sent off.
They were sat on the sidelines.
I haven't done my research, can't be bothered. They were sitting on the stairs.
That was Van Bronckhorst.
Yeah, just chatting.
It was because they were both Barcelona players.
That's right, yeah, that was quite funny.
I think they should put glass, right? A thin layer of sort of glass or sandpaper on this the inside of their shirt, right? Mm-hmm. So if they go down, they better be hurt.
Yeah, good point.
Well, they will be, wouldn't they, if they go down?
Yeah, exactly. What happens if it's a fair challenge when they go down? Lose their foot.
Man's game.
I'll teach him.
It's a contact sport. Contact with sandpaper.
Was it nice to see Drogba score, considering he's...
Yeah. Good header.
Yeah.
He sprung their offside trap.
I feel sorry for him, because he's obviously, you know, he's got a broken elbow that he's recovering from, and he's not had a lot of service, and he's really, really trying his heart out, but it's difficult for him up there. I really hope that they get a result against Portugal. It's very unlikely they'll qualify now, isn't it, given Portugal's hammering.
They've got to score 9 goals.
K-dons.
There needs to be a 9-goal swing, I think, in the final game.
Yeah. Mm.
Might even be 10. Portugal hammered North Korea 7-0. One of Tim Lovejoy's tips for the World Cup scored in that game. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Did you see his tips?
Alan Lim.
It was Rooney, Ronaldo and Messi.
And he somehow got that wrong. It's only really Messi that's been doing much. I know Ronaldo scored.
Insightful.
Mystic Meg. He's just going out on a limb.
Yeah. He's done his research, though. It's good to see.
Risking.
Great stuff.
Risking it all.
Ronaldo scored a lovely goal, which sort of bounced on the top of his head like a seal without him knowing, and they just put it in.
James, you're on the GLOL panel. Was that a GLOL?
That was a GLOL. Absolutely a GLOL. No.
The dubious GLOL.
He was kind of smirking about it before it had gone in, didn't he? Ronaldo's just thinking, oh, that's a GLOL.
It's funny that that's his first goal in an absolute age.
Almost 2 years, apparently.
And it just sort of appeared in front of him. He's like, oh, no, it's got... Oh, there it is.
To be fair to him, he had an absolute blinder, though, didn't he? He laid on a lot of goals.
He really played well. First half, he was doing a couple of jinky tricks, and I thought, that against North Korea.
I love it when he does a trick and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Speaking of North Korea, we've got a guy...
NK Dons.
In Pyongyang, writing a blog for us on thefootballnow.com.
No other media outlet's got that.
And they dispel a lot of myths, sort of perpetuated by a lot of the other media, so you should definitely go on that. Mm. It's thefootballnow.com.
And he just mentioned that TV documentary, which I spent a good Game of Their Lives, BBC 4 documentary a little while ago. Might have been a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Oddly,
that's on the 66 North Korean side.
Yeah, fascinating. Oddly, there's two films called that. One is about the 1950 US team who beat England, and the other one's about the North Korean 1960s.
But 1950 one's known as the Miracle on Grass, isn't it, generally? So maybe that's a better name for it.
I should have thought of that, yeah.
Well, let's talk about France then, come on.
Yay.
Before we talk about that, we'll talk about the game France 0, Mexico 2. Thoroughly enjoyable game, I thought.
Yeah, great game. A lot of people are saying that sort of England's performance wasn't as bad as France, but they were at least up against some decent opposition.
Well, France were up against
decent opposition. I don't want to get in the business of saying who was worse. Nothing good can come of it.
It's not positive. No. Well, at least we're not as bad as them.
Yeah.
You know, at least our government's not as bad.
Doesn't make us in any way good.
If you're crap, you're crap. It doesn't matter what else is going on around you.
But you know, the shocking part of that game for me was about... I mean, what minute was the Blanco penalty? It was quite late on.
74th, yeah. Was it?
Just before that, when they were still 1-0 down, basically...
They stopped trying.
Dominic, if he wanted to make a sub, he wouldn't have been able to because all the French players were behind the far goal, just chatting around laughing.
Henri and Cissé were just having a chat, weren't they?
It's very weird.
What I find odd about Dominic is why is he not putting Henri on a bit more? He knows what to do in these big tournaments, surely. I know he's not the player he was, but... No, you'd gamble with him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, at least give him 20 minutes when nothing's working. Because France were just awful, weren't they? Just really, really blunt. None of their players have performed.
But I think he's part of the problem, Henri. Really.
Oh, well, do you think?
He's a big personality. I think a lot of the players clearly don't respect Domenech. And so it's difficult for him because I know Domenech is an idiot and he's done lots of silly things. But the bottom line is... I know it's 4 years ago, but he got them to the final last time.
He did. Well, Zidane got them to the final.
But you're not. He was definitely.
But look at Euro 2008, though. It's a lot of time in between.
True. No, but I just think that I would argue, but I think pretty convincingly that Henri would be part of the problem anyway. Well, he's such a good person. He's got a bit of a reputation for that, Henri, as well.
Well, Anelka, of course, said at half time to him, F you son of a whore, to the manager.
And he was next on the next plane home.
You can't have that. Although...
I saw a picture of him at the airport on Elka. Massive hood up, big glasses.
Yeah.
Trying to look inconspicuous.
Apparently, though, that Domenech had dealt with it and it had all been done and dusted. Mm. And then it was leaked to the press. Mm. And then it was all blown up, and then the French Football Federation kind of had no choice but to send him home, because Patrice Evra was saying that there's a traitor in the camp, and that's what, you know, when he was arguing with the fitness coach, yeah. I think he thought it might have been him. That's, I think, what that argument
right,
was
okay.
about.
Okay.
So it all kind of went
allegedly. Off. 24, it's got malls and stuff. Yeah.
It's good to see that at least the Football Federation, the media, blow things out of proportion in that country as well as this.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a shame because they've got such a good squad.
Well, the problem for Anelka is that was probably... Oh, definitely his first and probably his last World yeah. Cup.
Well, look, there's a lot of players in there. That's their last World Cup. And they're not out yet as well. They seem to be acting as if they're wow. definitely out. I know, they've got a slim chance, and surely yeah. you've got to
they've
go
been acting
that.
Like they're out since the first game.
Well, it's true, yeah. They just don't seem to want it, do they?
Refusing to train.
Oh, no.
That was the problem in the first place. Yeah. If you're winning matches, it'll be fine.
Don't go on strike now.
Don't go on strike now. Well, let's move on from ridiculous, silly things that are happening at the World Cup. Luke! Is Hello. That? Are you in Diego Corner?
I am. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
ask me what it's like over here.
What is it like in Diego Corner?
That's all right. yeah.
What have you got for us, old sport?
Well, Diego's not been that busy over the last few days.
Well, he has.
He's always busy.
Exactly.
But by his standards, he's not really done an awful lot. But he's done a press conference.
He's done enough.
He's piped up about a few things.
He's done enough to warrant a visit from you to Diego Corner.
He's apologised to Platini after those outrageous comments he made.
Yep.
He said, because what happened was Michel Platini sent him a letter.
Yeah.
To say, look, you know, come on, I was misquoted, you know, the press said this and that and the other, mm-hmm. let's be mates. And so Diego said, Mr. Platini has sent me a letter.
Mr. Platini?
No, he's Mr. Platini. Yeah, last week he was like Michel the French shit or something. Now he's Mr. Platini. He sent me a letter and I would like to read it to you. He says he never has said what you reporters told me, he said. So through you, I would like to apologise to Mr. Platini, but not to Pele.
What I find funny, though, is the fact is Maradona's kind of said, oh, no, it's all fine. But Maradona did say, well, he's French, and you know what they're like.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a bigger apology.
I like the fact that he used the press. Like, so when that gets to Platini, it'll be like, you're the son of a whore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's twisted what I said.
Exactly. Like Frank Lampard said, if you want us to speak honestly, then you must report honestly.
That's good. That was a good piece of work.
Frank's done well of late. Frank's
and he also was asked by, I think it was a BBC journalist about his affection towards his players.
Oh, that's right.
He always hugs and kisses them and stuff. And his face when he was asked that.
It was a picture.
We'll have to stick that up on the website.
Yeah, it cannot be described.
Wasn't it a French reporter? Because he was going, maybe there's a language barrier.
But when it was being translated in his headphones, his face just sort of went more and more contorted.
Yeah.
And he said, I still prefer women. I am dating Veronica, who is blonde and 31 years old. No, I have not gone limp-wristed.
Why? I thought Diego was married.
That's offensive.
I thought Diego was married.
Doesn't matter.
Well,
doesn't
that's it.
Marriage
I said
cannot
this to
contain that man.
Yeah. Marriage can't.
Can't mark him.
This is a man who woos women by breaking wind. We all know that.
Yeah, very true.
Smelling of onions.
He's absolutely unstoppable.
I sometimes think with Diego Maradona, I was thinking about this the other night, is it not that we're all mental and he's normal?
I hope so, in a way.
Yeah.
If that's how you're meant to be, then life is truly a joyous thing.
Do you think
he's like an opposite man? Because like when you go, if you
what's an opposite man?
Like a woman.
You go on a date.
I'm just an opposite man.
Allow me to explain.
Is this a Portsmouth thing?
No. Allow me to explain.
The sort opposite of. Men of Southampton are all weird.
The opposite.
They've got thumbs and everything.
They're enough. Out of the operation theatre.
That's enough.
Come on.
Well, because I was saying, if you were to go out on a date with a beautiful woman,
Veronica, 31, blonde.
James, you just have to trust me on this one. Then you would go out of your way to not break wind and smell of onions.
Indeed.
Whereas Maradona seems to have actually done that on purpose. So that's why he's opposite.
I don't think he did it on purpose.
How old is Maradona in years?
I think he's 46.
Right, 46.
In human years or Maradona years?
No, I'm not sure how old he is.
He's mid-40s to late 40s, right? Yeah. If he lives to 80, he might, right? There's a very good chance that he'll go a bit mad.
It'll just be really normal.
No, you just revert back to sanity, I reckon.
Yeah, like Benjamin Button. He goes, start off absolutely mental.
It must have been like Slimer from Ghostbusters when he was born.
He finds his mind. But that's what that's what's happened in Diego Corner. But I mean, stay tuned. Next time, I'll see you on Thursday.
Something will definitely have happened.
I'll just lock up and I'll be back in a minute.
Very good.
All right.
We had an email actually while we're on an ounce of silliness. We got an email saying Ramaphosa, so just a quick one saying Serbia's coach is surely, most definitely, in actual fact, Nick Griffin.
He does look a bit like him, yeah.
Do you know, I thought the Serbian keeper looks a little bit like a young Ian Brown.
Yeah, he does, yeah. What's his name?
Stojkovic.
I think that I might have said this before.
Cut your fucking hands off.
I think that Lionel Messi looks like Paul Dano, actor Paul Dano.
Which one's Paul Dano?
He's in Little Miss Sunshine, and he plays the preacher in There Will Be Blood.
Yes, he does look like Paul Dano.
He looks like him.
Both
definitely.
Very good.
I'll take your words for it.
Oh, should I do an email as well, Marcus? Is that what you're pointing at? All right. Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Hello.
An infected testicle has saved my World Cup.
Ooh.
Diego?
Yeah. Was that Biltong out there?
Imagine if we got an email from Diego Maradona.
I just can't.
This is from Matt in Mexico City. He goes on to say, yeah, unfortunately, I am off work and can watch the World Cup uninterrupted. What injury / illness would you endure to have such uninterrupted coverage?
That wouldn't be top of my list.
No.
But let's applaud the infected testicle.
Well, he sounds quite pleased about it.
He must be having a great time in Mexico City.
Well, he's certainly making the best of it.
They must be jumping.
He even put, unfortunately, an inverted comma. It's almost like he did it himself.
let's question how he got his testicle infected. What's he been putting it into?
Remember the Mexican team were going to take over the big statue?
Yeah, they were.
They did that.
Wonder if did they take a replica over?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think that happened in the end.
Matt, could you let us know?
Yeah.
So what would we take? I wouldn't want to break anything.
No.
No.
Rubbish.
I don't like feeling like sick. You know, so I wouldn't be sort of wanting to watch the World Cup but then sort of throwing up all the time.
Well, I've got a bit of a shin splint at the moment, but it's not impaired.
No.
What about hypochondria? Can I have that?
Yeah, always.
Just be down the doctor quite a bit, but not when a match is on.
Well, anything, maybe like a bad back, so you'd be on the sofa the whole time, everyone would have to do things for you, bring you food and drink, and you just watch.
You'd have medication and stuff, so you'd be out of it.
Yeah. Like Diego.
you'd need, like, your hands free for the remotes and the... The beer, right, lads?
Probably a vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Heroin addiction.
Because it is a disease, isn't it?
It's a disease, yeah.
Okay. Moving on swiftly. Pete, do you have an email for us?
Yeah, I have got an email, Marcus. It begins, Ramble Force Home.
Oh, yes.
I'm an American living in China who discovered your jewel of a podcast at the beginning of this past EPL season and have eagerly awaited...
Apple. he overrates us calling us that.
And have eagerly awaited every offering since with the anticipation of a schoolboy on Christmas morning. Don't know if you've heard this, but in Chinese classrooms, teachers often refer to students not by their names, but by a number assigned to each student at the beginning of term.
Terrifying.
That is amazing.
Wow. That is
you'd want number 10, wouldn't you?
Yeah. 69, yeah?
Oh. Hey, surely not that big.
It's a class.
Come on, Pete.
Come on.
Well, these days, yeah.
It's not a London school.
London comprehensive.
Have that, David Cameron.
The tradition that brought us unisex haircuts and uniforms in schools also discourages the use of names, presumably to avoid the development of the peskiest of characteristics, individuality.
Oh, yes.
Chinese teachers argue that this is a function of the number of students in the classroom, but when I was a teacher here in the last decade, I was able to learn all 200 students' names.
Good lad.
A lot of students, isn't it?
Lad.
Even when most of them made no sense. Ice, Blue, Kinky, Dream, a boy called Vivian, Popsicle and Johnson, to
Kinky.
Name a few.
There isn't, surely.
I don't know. The numeric nomenclature system has carried over onto the pitch in China, as with the exception of the most famous names in football, Mai Shi, which is Messi, Shi Luo, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Rooney. Everyone on the pitch is referred to by number rather than name during the match commentary. Finally, that would be so much easier. I could do that.
Even Watson could do that.
Yeah, finally...
Lawrence would struggle.
Yeah.
Finally, I would be remiss not to mention that the standard commentary practice is that whenever the ball enters the box, both commentators start yelling, "Danger! Danger! Danger! Danger!"
Wow.
Until the ball is finally cleared or scored. You all think that you may have it bad with Mick McCarthy, Alan Green and Emmanuel Adebayor. It could be worse. It could all be numbers and danger, danger. Keep up the great work, Peter, a.k.a. foreigner number 23456721 3.
Very good.
No, I actually prefer that. So
yeah, well, I think if we got one of those guys in ahead of Mick McCarthy to just go, danger, 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 it'd be brilliant.
It'd be more of an input. It's like the guy in the Swindon Town press box, Scouser, he just goes, chances, chances, chances.
Very specific reference
there. Yeah, he does.
I'm sure everybody can relate to such a person.
Indeed.
Are you the captain of the Starship Enterprise? That's how he speaks.
I think that's the end of the show, isn't it?
Mm. I think probably.
I think forever.
Well, nothing left.
Well, that was Monday's World Cup ramble done. We will be back on Thursday. And remember, people, manmonth.co.uk.
Yeah, get yourself to manmonth.co.uk. We got prizes, we got little videos, blogs, all kinds of shenanigans, and you can also win Xboxes, DJ Hero games, video games, PlayStation 3s, tellies, plasma screens, all kinds of stuff like that. It's all in association with 1 Million Fragrance for Men and IGN Network.
Marvellous. If you want to get in touch with us, of course, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. And like I said, we'll be back on Thursday, and Thursday's show will be going out on Thursday evening, and Monday's show, of course, out on Monday evening. And we will be still doing Ramble Extra on 442.com on a Friday afternoon. Say goodbye, Lukey.
I'm first this time. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PT Don.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James and Jim Camp.
Goodbye.
We're all off to look for the toilet.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.